Welcome to the SPS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I am your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, and of course, if you are a Springfield teacher, you can find me out on the MySPS, the digital learning page. Well, we are getting to be closer and closer to that halfway point of summer. And as we continue along summer, we're going to continue along in our study on the distance learning playbook. Now, the last few episodes have all been replays because we started this book study back in 2021. That was a little while ago. Now, we're going to pick it up because after reading the book and then realizing we never finished talking about it, there's a lot of great things inside the book that are really helpful for new teachers, teachers who have been teaching for a long time, well, pretty much any teacher. Even though it's geared toward distant learning, I believe the principles still apply. Today, we're going to jump into Module 4, Teacher Credibility at a Distance. In a traditional classroom, teachers have a variety of methods to establish credibility with their students. We can use our physical presence, our voice, our body language. We also have the ability to decorate the room and make it visually appealing and lead to our sense of credibility as an expert and that sense of authority in the classroom. Now, the book does focus on the distance aspect of all this and how that can be done, which if you haven't picked up the book yet, I suggest you do. It's great. I'll make sure that there's a link in the show notes that you can purchase it. It's probably cheaper now than it was when it first came out because, well, we're all back in person doing either some sort of version of hybrid or fully back in person. Or maybe you're at a new school which started their own distance learning program. So with distance learning, teachers really face some challenges. They can't rely on their bodies, their presence. Everybody has a physical presence. When someone walks in the room, you can tell what kind of person they are with the presence that they walk in, I believe, if you've learned enough about body language. So when you're at a distance, there's a lot more reliance upon words and actions. And quite frankly, it's even more important to follow through on promises and commitments, which, again, is true for both in-person and online teaching. One of the things that I love, there's a quote right at the beginning of the chapter, which I think kind of encapsulates everything we're going to talk about today, which is, importantly, the credibility a teacher has with their students changes. It's dynamic. It's not the same for all students at the same time. Now, when you're remote, that might seem like it's a little easier to do because you can meet with students one-on-one. When you're back in person, though, being able to do that is much more difficult. I know from teaching fifth grade, we always had to do, at first it was Dibbles, and then it became F&Ps. To do those assessments with the students, you had to meet with them one-on-one, which meant that you weren't teaching your class. And as a teacher, we always struggle with how much control are we willing to give to somebody else to teach our students because we're the ones responsible. And the same thing is true when it comes to credibility, is that we have to build that with our students. Some reasons why credibility is vital is that it increases student engagement. When students perceive their teacher as knowledgeable and competent, like we are, they are more likely to be interested in the lessons and actively engage with the materials that you're presenting in class. I can think of times when my credibility with my students was really high. I could get buy-in to anything that we were doing. I could say, hey guys, we're going to write a story about a stick of butter. And everyone would write a creative story about a stick of butter. I know that was one of those things that's because they trusted and believed in me and what we were doing in the classroom, they were willing to take those chances and go wherever I was sending them. It also enhances trust. The students are more inclined to trust a teacher they perceive as credible. And again, this leads to some more open-mindedness and getting feedback and a willingness to invest effort in their learning. I've had students who, for whatever reason, they looked at me that first day of school and was like, I don't care. And those students, I always had a hard time giving feedback to because they were not willing to take any of it in as feedback to improve with their learning. They just took it as criticism. And I don't know, maybe that could have been just how it had been previous years for them. So they just kind of expected the same thing, even though I tried not to do it in that way. Maybe it's just some other thing happening outside of school that we had no control over. But what we do have control over is creating that trust in the classroom. And sometimes students, you get that right away. Other times you have to really build it and prove it. And another reason why the credibility is important is that it helps improve the student's academic success. When students believe that their teacher can guide them well, then they will be more motivated to give their best effort and achieve within whatever class and study that you're doing. Students need to believe that you are there guiding them and you're going to guide them well. Now, when it comes to credibility, there's a lot of different avenues and directions that we can go with this, but we also need to make sure that we have this thought in the back of our mind when we're considering the concept of credibility. It's important to reflect on how personal teachers get with their students. For some students, they need that personal connection with you. And so you need to find that right balance on any issue. And quite frankly, that's always complicated because just like that quote that I read earlier, every student is different and every student will perceive the same event differently. And so it's important to figure out how to build that credibility with them. I've seen new teachers get steamrolled by students because they were new and young and never taught before. And these students could tell and they tried to run over that teacher with whatever they wanted to do. Sometimes they were successful, other times they were not. But having that credibility is what's going to stop them from kind of rolling over you. When we think about credibility, we think about trust. Some of those things can be as simple as if you make a promise, you work to keep it or explain why you could not. You expect students to tell the truth about their performance. They know when their work is below standard and wonder why you're telling them otherwise. Don't spend all your time trying to catch students in the wrong. You will get exhausted and tired. And that'll provide more issues with behavior than anything else. And one thing you definitely have to be careful of is examining any negative feelings that you have about specific students. Because if they sense it, not only is your credibility compromised, they're also going to shut down with you. And I imagine, as again, this book does focus on the virtual aspect of all of this, but in person, it's harder to hide those things. So you need to be prepared and be able to departmentalize those kind of things. Because they'll see you as untrustworthy and unreliable. And so again, in thinking about the trust aspect, because that's where the book goes at this point, a couple of things that they mention is honesty, benevolence, openness, reliability, and competency. Those are kind of the five pillars of building trust within the classroom. Like reliability, like they know what is expected from others and expected from them, and what will happen when that is met or not met. Openness, so that means that they're open to whatever is being shared in the classroom. Competency, the ability to perform to the standards that you have given them, and the standards are reasonable and match their abilities, not standards that are too far for them to reach. Honesty, being honest with the students. I always think about, when I think of honesty, there's this old TV show called Bones. And in one of the episodes, it's a crime fighting show, and they're trying to solve this murder. And the murdered was a part of this honesty group that practiced radical honesty. And sometimes that radical honesty hurt other people, whether they meant it or not. And so you have to find that balance with students of being honest with them, but also not distorting anything. And of course, benevolence, as you know, that you are considerate and someone that cares. And so again, in this trust section, I kept coming back to this question, and maybe I'll see it in your answers there in the comment section on the blog post for this podcast, which is, what are your thoughts about how personal do you get with your students? Every time I was reading, I kept reading and I'm like, oh, how personal is this? Is this the right amount of personalness to it? Do the students need to know every little thing that you did? And so I think that is important to figure out how that influences trust. Because generally, teachers should maintain professional relationships with their students. When you share excessive personal information and engage in unrelated conversations, those kind of things should be avoided. Even though you might think it's building a proper credibility with the students, it might just be a time of oversharing. And so in thinking about how to do this, you get to know your students on a personal level, showing interest in the things that they are interested in. I know there were times where I would go to some of my students' soccer games or basketball games or plays or things that they were in to encourage them and to support them, because students, especially at the younger ages, they need to see that support and they need to know that you are there for them. And that's where that credibility comes in, is if they see you showing up for things for them, they are going to trust you more in the classroom. Students need to feel supported. Teachers can offer positivity, encouragement, and be available when students require assistance. When you're distance learning, in keeping with the book here, I think that one is probably one of the harder points to do, because students don't all work at the same rates, and you're all in the class at the same time, and you can only pull so many students to like one-on-one groups in the Zoom or in the Teams. And so you're not necessarily able to give those students all the assistance that they need. In the classroom, you have the ability to pull them aside to a table, or if it's a group of students all struggling with the same thing, you can pull them all together, so that no one feels singled out. Even if it's something that one is struggling with, that one sort of gets, one definitely gets, you pull them all into a group and they can work and talk together and no one feels singled out. It's another way to kind of build that credibility up, is showing that you know your students and you know how they would react to different events in the classroom. Another thing that is hugely important when it comes to this credibility is ensuring fairness and consistency. I know for me, I always struggled when it came to discipline in the classroom. I always tried to be consistent and fair. Some students always would feel like that it wasn't, and that there was partiality that would happen. And that's an unfortunate thing. Even if you are straight down the line, this is the rule, this is what you did, this is the rule, this is what you did, that even though you are being consistent, they might not see that as fair. Next part of part of the book talks about competency, making sure that you know your content well. If they see you reading out of the book as you are delivering the lesson, the students are going to see that as someone who does not know their content. So you need to know it ahead of time or be honest with them when a question arises and you're not sure about the answer. You also need to make sure that your lesson delivery is cohesive and coherent and organized. Everything that you're doing in the classroom should lead to the next thing. And when that doesn't happen and it's chaotic, students can pick up on that. And then that could be another thing like, well, maybe they don't know what they're actually talking about. And then this is one that when it came up in the book, I never really thought about it under competence, but they mentioned your nonverbal behaviors, the way that you communicate, such as where your hands are in different positions when you talk with students or your facial expressions. Students notice defensive postures and nonverbal indicators that they are not valued when they speak. Those kind of things I never thought about. But after reading in the section, like, oh, that would have been good to think about and remember as we're going about our day. What's really great with this book, too, is there's a lot of great videos and different references that are not just in the book, but are available digitally. I have included the last few weeks the link to the Corwin site where a lot of this stuff is. But if you buy the book, there's a lot of QR codes. It seems to be about every other page where you can scan and see either a teacher or a student talking about one of the things in that section. And so there is a great video in this section that has the ability to show different ways to talk about competency with students. Like what you heard so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show. So there's two more parts to the credibility section that we're going to talk about. I'm actually going to jump to the fourth one before we talk about the third one, because the third one is probably my favorite part. And so I'm going to spend more time there than I am in this particular area, which is immediacy. Getting to know something personal about each student, as students know when you don't know their names or anything about them. Those first few days of school are hugely important to get to know your students. I always spent a lot of time doing activities where I got to know students' likes, dislikes, the things that they excel at, the things that they struggle at. Not necessarily their academic levels, but more them personally, so that when it came time to suggest books to read, I could pick books that would fit their interests. And essentially what I'm talking about here is showing genuine interest in the students can help foster that connection. With immediacy, as said, teach with urgency, but not to the point that it causes undue stress for them. That said, students want to know what they're learning matters, and that you are not wasting their time. I always remember teaching math and always hearing students say, I'm never going to use this in the real world. No one uses math in life. And then, of course, as you and I both know, math is kind of everywhere. It's kind of important, especially the stuff that you're learning in fifth grade. Multiplying, dividing, fractions. Exponents, mess up an exponent and you owe the bank a lot of money. I think that is important too. When it comes to the urgency, not going at too fast of a pace, I think helps with this too, because students perceive quickness as urgent, like you're just trying to get through everything. So don't be afraid to not get through everything. Start the class on time and use every minute wisely. That's part of the immediacy section. Making sure that whatever tasks you're giving the right amount of time. And then also, if you don't have enough tasks, I like the book calls them sponge activities, but they're essentially just having different activities that students can do if you, of course, run out of time, which we would always love to have the ability to spend more time on other ways of learning. If a lesson goes quickly or students get it quickly, you need to be prepared to shift gears. And that's essentially what this is talking about. And it does not create what could be perceived as free time. The other part that I really liked about this section of immediacy is they had a few general things that you can do, and a couple of them really stood out to me as ones that I felt like I did really well. And that was looking at students and smiling when you're talking, because if you're frowning at a student, that's not going to go well. But also, it helps give that students that connection to you. Using the students' names, again, that first few weeks of school, learning how to say everybody's name and saying it correctly is incredibly important to developing the rest of the year going successfully. And the other one I'm going to point out here, or two more I'm going to point out here, is using us and we when you're referring to the class, because you are all part of that community and all together. And then vocal variety. When I first started teaching, I was very monotone, where it almost sounded like I would be droning because I was trying to, while I knew my content, it always felt like when I was delivering it, I was delivering it like I was delivering something from a memory. So it kind of sounded very computer-like. And I know that, and it's reinforced here, that you'll get your students engaged and they'll know that you're credible because you're not just reciting a fact. If you're using pauses and stressing different words and emphasizing different words and using different inflections, it really helps with your students being able to connect to your credibility. Because again, that's what this chapter is all about. It's all about how you are a credible teacher. So now the last part that we're going to talk about is the third part of this book. And I really love the word and what it kind of means from it. And that is dynamicism. I know I probably just pronounced that wrong. But this is the idea of that you are a passionate teacher, that you love what you're doing. And that comes through with how you teach. So you need to make sure that you are staying passionate with the content that you're teaching by focusing on aspects that get you excited or that you may have gotten excited about as a student. I remember when I was doing in middle school, we were doing Greek and Roman literature. We were doing a whole Greek and Roman study in all subjects. It was really fun where we were really involved in the learning that was happening because the teachers were passionate about what they were teaching. And so I remember being part of Sparta. I remember being Hercules in a play for the school to demonstrate some of our knowledge of the things that we had learned. And so those are the kind of things that got me excited. And I always tried to bring those in when we were learning different lessons. Like I think with the social studies standards at the time, I know that they have slightly changed now, but we would start off with the Norse mythology gods when we were talking about the first people who traveled from the European area to the New World. And I would get so excited. I would love this documentary, which showed what it would have been like if you had taken boats and gone to the places where these legends, really, on Leif Erikson and all of that, where they went and how they got there. And I know that that was exciting for me, and I was able to share that with the students and so that they could see what the boats looked like. Unfortunately, we're not able to travel to Norway or Sweden or anywhere in Europe, really, to go and see some of these archaeological sites. So it was really exciting for me to be able to bring those sites into the classroom. I always remember when I was teaching, I was excited about it, and I had students who would ooh and ah at different parts of the lesson and different parts of these sites. Like seeing like a longship, one that would have gone across the ocean. Wicked cool. Another part of this is talking about the relevance of your lessons. I think this one is pretty self-evident. Like, can you relate it back to the students? The reason why I started with Norse myths is because students were familiar with Norse mythology without even realizing it, because they knew who Thor was and they knew who Loki was, knew who Odin was. And so that was that gateway in for that particular lesson. And so thinking about what the students are interested in, what they know about, and what they can connect, that really helps. And then another part of this too that I really like in this particular section is they mentioned being observed by a colleague and getting feedback on the way that you're teaching something. A lot of times we can think a lesson went fantastic, and then the next day we have to teach it all over again because students didn't get it, or they didn't retain whatever you were trying to get them to retain. Having another teacher come in and just offer their viewpoint on where things went, how things went overall, can be really helpful. Even when I think about teaching adults on how to do different things with technology, I know that this dynamicism, I know I'm mispronouncing that word, I know that I need to be that way because a lot of times you, in my position, you're trying to show why something is beneficial, why learning how to use the gradebook can help save you a lot of time down the road, why using Flip or Wakelet or OneNote can be beneficial to helping your students build knowledge. I have to be excited about that to then translate that over, because we have sat in enough PDs, all of us have, where the person knew their stuff, but they were not very engaging. They were not dynamic. And that's one of the things that, as a teacher, you got to bring to your classroom, is being dynamic. And again, with this book being focused on distance learning, I can see how that would, one, be extremely difficult, and two, when you're distance learning, you are not the only thing vying for those students' attention. Your passion did not change because you're teaching from a distance, one of the quotes from the book here. Make sure that your students know that. As teachers, we're here to teach for a reason. We chose to be a teacher. And that is something that comes through with being dynamic. When you are not being true to yourself and not realizing your passion to be a teacher, that does translate over to your students. So one of my favorite things with all of these modules, I almost call it a chapter there, is that they always end with this idea of a success criteria. And I'm going to leave you with these thoughts too, because I think they're very important to remember, even though we are not teaching remotely, that we are back in person, unless of course you're at a virtual school. These criteria: I can develop routines and procedures that ensure that trust is maintained in distance learning, but also in person. I can demonstrate my competence using familiar routines and acknowledge new learning, especially related to technology. Don't take the stuff that you learned through the beginning of COVID and ignore it now that you're back in person. A lot of those tools can be very helpful and add credibility to you. I can bring passion to learning for my students. I can find ways to maintain immediacy with students, and I can support others in developing and maintaining their credibility. As new teachers, we always feel like we're being thrown to the fire. As veteran teachers, we need to be willing to go into those fires with those new teachers and help bring them along. I'm sure, as you have seen at your school, schools all over the state, all over the country, have a high rate of turnover. I think a lot of that can be solved with some great mentorship, especially to those who are new to teaching, being thrown into the fire and trying to absorb everything that they need to be doing. It's a lot. Being a teacher is a lot. And to help build the credibility as a teacher, we need to be working with others and working with each other. So that's my summary here on Module 4, Teacher Credibility. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are and opinions are. So go to beardedtechedguy.com, find this podcast blog post. I always post all the podcasts as their own blog. Go and leave us feedback, leave us comments, ask us questions. Love to hear from you. And I'd love to be able to help you continue to build that credibility in your classroom, because teacher credibility is important in all learning environments. When students believe that their teachers are credible, they're more likely to be engaged, they're more likely to trust you, and they're more likely to be successful. So I just want to wrap up this podcast again by thanking you for listening. These may seem like ramblings to you. It sounds all good in my head, and even as I listen back to this. So I want to thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode of the SPS Digital Learning Hour, I'd love for your support for the podcast. Share it with others, post about it on social media, leave us a rating and review. You can do that over at your favorite podcast player, like iTunes or Spotify. not Stitcher, because that is closing down at some point very, very soon. To catch the latest from me, I always post out new things that I learn about through Instagram and Twitter under Bearded Tech Ed, my website beardedtechedguy.com, or even on the digital learning page under my SBS. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour.